På bussen, en helt vanlig torsdag, mottok Tore tilbudet som skulle forandre alt. En e-post, en lenke og en nettside med rabatter på det nye utstyret han egentlig ikke hadde råd til, men hadde så lyst på. Det eneste han rakk å tenke var at dette var nesten litt for godt til å være sant. Og det var det det var.
Over 70% av alle nye nettsider er svindelsider. For sikkerhetens skyld har alle Telenor-kunder sikkerhetsfiltre som blokkerer falske nettsider. Se hvordan du kan bli tryggere på telenor.no/sikkerhet.
Den 2. august spiller Sepultura på Kanalrock I Horten, så jeg har funnet frem et intervju med gitarrist Andreas Kisser fra 2014. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv, du hører på Jernverket podcast.
Tonight, I'm sitting here with Andreas Kisser from Sepultura.
Hello.
So, how is it to be here in Norway at this festival, Tons of Rock?
It's great. It's really great. I was here like 3 years ago or so with Hale, just playing covers with different musicians. Of course, we didn't play in the festival, we played in the club here. But it's good to be back, you know, it's summer here in Norway. It's amazing. It's a beautiful place, great bands, you know, so... All good.
Mm-hmm. So what can we expect from the concert tonight?
Yeah, we're doing this tour. We're playing at the same time we have a new album that came out last year. We are celebrating 30 years of our career as well, you know. Mm-hmm. So we kind of play everything from our history. Of course, we play a lot of the new stuff, but we have room to play everything, you know, from the Sepultura catalog, pretty much.
So do you think we can hear from the past Coast of Storms storm
that's
tonight?
A little too much, no. Well, we don't have that much time, actually. You know, we have an hour set today, so we try to squeeze as much as we can in this period.
Oh. Can you tell us a bit about the new album? What did you think when you wrote it? How is it different from the other albums? How is it...
Well, there's lots of the different things about the album. First, it's a first album we do with Eloy Casagrande, our drummer, new drummer, which is with us last 3 years or so. And we work with Ross Robinson again. We record the album outside Brazil after a long time because we were doing all our albums in Brazil during this last 10 years or so. So everything was very motivating, you know, to work with Ross, to go... to the States, to Venice at his studio, to have the new drummer who brought a lot of new influence. He's an amazing musician, you know, young but at the same time very much experienced. You know, he plays with lots of people and lots of bands, and he toured the world before and etc. So he came kind of ready to be with us, you know. So we chose this phrase, which is kind of a long phrase for an album title, but it really represents, you know, the stuff that we see today. I mean, people... The phrase came out from the movie Metropolis, and Metropolis show like a robotized society where people don't have fun, just work, you know, and just a few people enjoy everything, you know. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much what we see today, and... I guess the phrase was really inspirational for us to write everything, you know, and the album came out by Nuclear Blast, the second album we do with them, and very positive reaction, and here we are, you know, playing really great festivals, a great run, great places. We still go to South Africa and Australia, many shows in Brazil, South America this year, so it's great. I mean, very, very positive overall.
Mm-hmm. Sepultura has been through a lot of changes, both with members and also the musical style.
Yeah.
And you have maybe one of the most split fan bases in the world, maybe. There yeah. are those who like only the two or three first albums, those who like the Roots and Arise, and then there's those from the 90s and the 2000s. How do you cope with this, and how do you take care of all the different fans?
We don't. I mean, it's their problem, you know, the way they see the band. I mean, we just do what we do. You know, all the bands have like that, you know, like Sabbath, Zeppelin, you see Purple, all the great bands, Metallica, when they came with Load, Reload, you know, people were just like, they didn't, you know, we didn't like, you know, the metalheads and stuff. And it's just normal. I think the metal fan... or a fan in general, it's very radical. could be blues, it could be jazz, it could be metal, it could be anything, you know. It's very specific, you know, we listen just kind of stuff, and it's kind of normal when we change something, people get weird about, you know. So in a band we're 30 years old, with few changes inside and many changes outside, you know, and with technology and everything, and that's normal. I think that's a part of what we are, you know. We started out the band, we were kids, just friends. We didn't have wives, we didn't have kids, we didn't have anything. We just have the band, and we grew up with the band. We got married, I have three kids, and we changed, you know, we moved to the States. Lots of things change, you know. And even the fans, they change. Mm-hmm. They just don't realize, but they do, you know. I mean, it's great to see that the world turns, you know. We're not going to keep doing the same thing over and over just to satisfy a few people. It's impossible, really, to satisfy everybody. You know, if you're going to listen to 10 Sepultura fans here, we're going to get stuck in one place because we don't go anywhere, because everyone's going to say something different, you know. Mm-hmm. I respect them all. Of course, I don't agree with them all, but I respect them all. You know, if you have an opinion, if you have a brain, and if you have a mouth, speak up. You know, it's only your wish, it's only your opinion. That's all. We cannot really be driven by that. You know, I mean, art and music—it's much bigger than that. You know, it's something that we feel, the heart can speak, and you know, we go there and do it. So, and we have the privilege to travel the world. You know, we always know new people, new bands, new cultures. We play from Cuba to South Africa to Australia to, you know, Lebanon, you know, everywhere, you know. So it's great to see that and to achieve and new grounds and new influences. And that's music, you know. It has to change. You know, we're not like a sculpture that's there forever, you know. And even a sculpture with rain and wind, it changes. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing is forever, you know. So it's great. I mean, we grow up, and If people think A, B, C, or Z, you know, it's their problem. I mean, what can I do?
But if you, it's natural to think that this or the period you're in is the best period of the band.
Yes.
But if you look away from the things you are doing now, what has been your favorite time with Sepultura through these 30 years? What was the time that where you really felt that this is the best?
I think during Chaos AD was really everything was working. Between Arise and Chaos AD, the manager was really working for the band, not only for the singer. We had a label that was really doing something great. We have an amazing booking agent, you know. Everything was really flowing. After Chaos AD, that the stuff was really turning to be the singer's band and not only Sepultura band, you know, the way was always, you know, the way is today, till today. So I think during those days between Arise and KZD was really a very productive, positive era, you know, that we moved to the States, we got our place to practice, and stuff was really developing fast and quick, you know. But yeah, I cannot complain, you know. I think right now it's really a great momentum. We have much more control of our own career. We know, I mean, experience, of course, you know. The stuff that we passed through, all the problems, all the things that we went through is something that's very positive for us right now. You know, we learn a lot during the process. So I guess we are in an amazing momentum right now, very positive, enjoying every moment, with no drama, no stress, you know, all that bullshit that was going on during those days. So, yeah, I think between Arise and KZD and I think now, I think are the best moments.
På bussen, en helt vanlig torsdag, mottok Tore tilbudet som skulle forandre alt. En e-post, en lenke og en nettside med rabatter på det nye utstyret han egentlig ikke hadde råd til, men hadde så lyst på. Det eneste han rakk å tenke var at dette var nesten litt for godt til å være sant. Og det var det det var.
Over 70% av alle nye nettsider svindelsider. For sikkerhetens skyld har alle Telenor-kunder sikkerhetsfiltre som blokkerer falske nettsider. Se hvordan du kan bli tryggere på telenor.no/sikkerhet.
But, I always ask the bands I meet about crazy, weird, funny, or a dramatic tour story. And when you've been in a band for 30 years, there must have been happening all kinds of stuff while you've been touring. Do you have any good stories you'd like to share with the listeners?
I don't know. I'm not really a good storyteller.
Oh, I don't believe you. You're right. You're a musician. You're telling stories every day.
No, I hide the stories, actually. But today's so hard to hide anything because everything's on the internet, you know. Mm-hmm. Anything you do is just poof, it's there for the world to see, you know. But I don't know, usually the stories are connected to abuse of alcohol, you know, drinking too much and doing stupid shit. And
TNT told me yesterday that they once broke into an amusement park and took photos of the sleeping guard outside the door. So I don't believe that you don't have a specific story.
No, I do, but it's I have to remember one just to that came sound interesting. I don't know. You told this story about breaking up amusement park. We first time we played in Poland, we played in a city near the concentration camp Auschwitz. And after we played, we went there at 2 or 3 in the morning to go there to see. Of course, was everything closed, but there was one guard there, and we gave him 20 Deutschmarks at the time, and he let us jump the gate. And we were like 8 people inside Auschwitz at night, nobody there. You know, that was quite an experience. You know, and of course, second time we went there, we went to Auschwitz again. But that, you know, we visited the museum, like during the day, we paid the ticket and everything. But that was kind of interesting feeling, you know, to be in a place like that and in such a situation with just like, you know, how you call the
flashlights,
you know, and really with the eyes like this and stuff. And we are breaking the rule, breaking the law. And was really, really, I mean, really cool. I love history, you know. And my family left Europe, my mom's family from Slovenia after the war, you know. And there are many Europeans that came down to South America, you know, after the war. So it's something that is really close, you know, to our family. And the consequence of that Second World War, that's why I was born in Brazil, for instance, you know. So it's something that is really cool, not only the concentration camps, but, you know, the D-Day Museum in England, you know, have so many different stuff attached to the war, you know. Here in Europe, everywhere you can see marks and, you know, monuments, you know, and stuff like that, and cemeteries. And so it's pretty cool to see that closely, you know. And I love to go and visit those places.
Have you ever considered writing music about that?
We always do. I mean, we write about war in general, you know. Like territory, for instance. We did a video in Israel, but it could be done anywhere in Europe. I mean, the borders of Europe, you know, it's like this, you know, and goes everywhere and still changing, you know. You see, Yugoslavia used to be one country, now it's 9 different places or 8, you know. So it changed so much, and Germany came back to be one, and stuff like that, you know. And it's great to be a part of this, you know, a little closer. First time we played in Europe was in 89, and the wall was still up, you know. So we went to Berlin to see the wall and to see the other place, and a few months later everything was open, you know, and to see the other part and the other Germany really, you know, trying to rebuild itself and stuff. And it's cool that you have the chance to talk to fans and to people that live that, you know. And they say about the difficulties of changing and everything. And I think it's interesting to live history there right now, you know. So and Europe's the best place for it, you know. It's so much history here.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah, we have I think 2 minutes left. So It would be nice if you could give me maybe 8 or 10 favorite songs. Can you do that?
8 or 10.
You have Judas Priest now.
Yeah, I could do the same list I give to the other guy.
Hey.
It's like the same 8 and then 9 songs. I mean, I couldn't go too much further because they are the bands I like, you know.
Yeah, of course.
But I can change the songs at least.
Yeah.
I could put Black Sabbath, Sabbath Bloody Sabbath, Metallica, Leper Messiah, Judas Priest, put Grindr, could put Deep Purple, Fireball. How many? Five?
Five, yeah. You can take one of your own songs too.
Sure. Sepultura, could put The Vatican, Slayer, could put Angel of Death.
Nurse, I think that's 8. Then you have
7.
8 or 7. Yeah, okay, 7. Yeah.
What else? Could put Dio, Stand Up and Shout.
Mm-hmm. It's difficult.
Let me see your bands here in your...
Yeah, you can... Any inspiration?
Nasty Savage.
Watson.
Nasty Savage, I met them in the 80s in Brazil, but I don't remember any songs. But put the Anthrax, Caught in the Mosh.
You could just pick a Nasty Savage song, yeah. For you.
Okay, do it, yeah. That'll be cool.
Du har hørt et intervju med Andreas Kisser fra Sepultura. Den 2. august spiller han på Kanalrock I Horten. Og nå tar Jernverket ferie en vekka, så neste episode kommer først den 26. juli. Da skal det handle om Necros Christus.
Better release 3 great albums than 6, and there's like 2 which are totally shit. Just look at the scene, there are so many death metal bands from the early 90s still around, and there are a few which I really would like to see anymore.
Liker du Death og Trash som Sepultura, kan du også høre podcastepisodene med for eksempel Kadaver, Bloodbath, Obliteration, Insane og Necromanteon. Det blir som sagt en vekka med ferie uten ny episode nå, men det legger 56 episoder ut, så du burde ha litt å høre på I ferien. Abonner på Jernverket podcast via podcast-app eller gå inn på jernverket.com. Fortell om det til en kompis, eller legg igjen en god anmeldelse av Jernverket der du lytter, så holder den seg på podcastlistene. Jeg trenger også hjelp fra annonsører for å kunne fortsette å lage podcast. Hvis du vil spre ordet om et produkt via podcast, kan du sende meg en melding. Og husk på å følge Jernverket på Instagram og Facebook for månedens album fra Katakomben, diskusjoner, konkurranser og nyheter. Helle Stenkløv, det meg. Jeg gir deg et nytt eller gammelt hardrockintervju hver fredag. Vi høres, og god sommer!